Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Farmers in North Dublin say they're facing annual tax bills of up to €60,000 just to hold on to their land. They say they're being blackmailed by government policy into selling that land. Now, this is because of the new residential zoned land tax, which has been brought in to encourage the development of service land, which has been designated for building houses on. Monday was the final opportunity for farmers to apply to have their land reviewed for exemption from the tax. Liam Butterley is a farmer in Rush in North County Dublin, and he joins us on the line. Good morning, Liam.
Morning, Claire. How are you?
I'm good, but how much of a bill are you facing?
Just an estimate, Claire. Like, I haven't got like exact figures, but it's 50,000 to 60,000 per year.
Okay, this is on a 7-acre piece of land, is it?
Yeah, in Rush, where we live. Yeah.
So, you know, that land is very valuable land, isn't it? That you have there.
Yeah, I suppose like it's, you know, it has a lot of sentimental value to our family, and you know, it's land in Rush and North County Dublin. Like, it's great for growing vegetables and potatoes, and you know, you won't get land like it around the country.
But if you're paying that level, if you're going to pay that level of tax on it, you're looking there at a value of $500,000 an acre.
Yeah, you'd be looking at that. You couldn't pay the tax, Claire. You'd be forced to sell it.
Yeah, but if you sold it, you'd be up $3.5 million. Well, you'd have to pay deductions on that, your capital gains tax. But you'd have people listening to this who would say to you, well, sell it.
Yeah, no, and I can understand that, you know. And I suppose if you did sell it and you got money, and, you know, you'd be looking at half of it gone in tax. And, but I think what people don't understand, you know, like, I've been brought up, you get up, you go to work every day. Like, it's in my blood. My granddad worked into his 80s, my dad's 72. He's going to walk well into his 80s. You know, I have two sons. I have 4 children altogether. I have 2 sons and 2 daughters, you know. And the hope would be that they would follow in my footsteps.
So what you want to do is keep that land and pass it on to the next generation.
Yeah, I want to keep working. Like, that's all I know. You know, I've been working since I've been a kid on the land, you know. Mm-hmm. And I just want to keep doing it, yeah.
So the attraction of selling it then, for the amount that we discussed there, which is a lot, that doesn't hold appeal for you, is that what you're saying?
It doesn't, and I know people might find that hard to understand. They're thinking you're getting all this money, but like, it's really a way of life that we have out here, and any farmer will tell you the same. You know, you're not doing it for money. And so my dad has been working since he's been 12, you know, and it's like he doesn't even have a car. Like, he'd prefer to buy a tractor or a Jeep or the walk or stuff like that. You know, he doesn't go on holidays. It's just work. It's a way of life we have, and, you know, something that I have values in now and stuff like that. Yeah.
And what do you grow on it?
Well, last year we had new season potatoes, and this year we've new season cauliflowers and cabbage planted.
So it is a vegetable growing land, and it's particularly special vegetable growing land.
Yeah, it is. Like, you get early crops in it every year. And as I've said in the article in the Irish Independent, you know, no matter what we put in that field, like, the land is so good. Mm-hmm. Everything grows great.
I saw the picture in the Irish Independent. It's unusual, the land, because it's in between. It looks as though it's in between two housing estates.
Yeah, it is. It's right between two housing estates. And, you know, I put a submission in the last time. I didn't do it this time because I suppose I just kind of resigned myself because it was a lot of effort. Like, the last time I found out 3 weeks before you had to put a submission in to another farmer, I just couldn't believe it. You know, my father just can't believe it. And it's like, I struggle to see how it's legally possible to be able to do something like this.
Mm-hmm. Would you be happy if the land was de-zoned? Because it would be worth a lot less if it was.
Yeah, and I think the problem, if it was de-zoned, yeah, we could still walk it. But if the threat was there to CPO it, that's what you're worried about.
Compulsory purchase order.
Yeah, they could just come and do that, you know, and that, mm-hmm. that's the worry as well.
And what's your father advising you to do, or does he have any thoughts on it?
He just thinks this is going to go away, you know, and eventually something will come in the government and it'll stop. And I suppose lately I have been saying to him that, you know, we're going to really have something to have to think about this, because next February is going to come around fairly quick.
This is when the tax is due.
Yeah, and it's a revenue thing, and you know, with the revenue, you're going to get a letter on the 1st of February with a tax bill, if it isn't stopped, yeah.
Listen, I have Bill O'Keefe here with me as well, who's chair of the IFA's Farm Business Committee. Bill, you're welcome there, and I'm sure you're familiar with that story. You're hearing it from plenty of farmers around the country, not just in North Dublin. But that land is zoned, so that means that it has access to water, sewage, public lighting, footpaths. We know how badly land is needed for housing. I mean, those sorts of services normally not needed for farming, but needed for housing development.
Yeah, and Claire, the IFA does recognise that there is a need for land for housing in the country. There is a housing need and need to develop more houses. We don't feel that land is the factor, but we want actively farmed land to be exempt from this tax. That's the position we've taken all along on this, and we want family farms to be able to make the decision themselves what they want to do with their own land, rather than being forced to make a decision by a very penal tax, which in some cases will evict farmers from their residential homes to residential family farms.
So what grounds are people being granted exemptions on, if not for active farming?
Very few grounds. We've had very few successful exemptions granted under the last round, and the latest round has gone in there on the 1st of April, and we're very unlikely to get much success there again for farmers. And we'll have some farmers applying to have their land dezoned over the next couple of months again, and again that'll go to An Bord Pleanála, and it will be very difficult to get wins on that for farmers that do wish to have their land dezoned. And there is a risk there, as Liam said, that if land is dezoned, it is devalued. There's implications there with banking if there's money borrowed against that land, and there is implications that somebody look, government is a volatile place at the moment. It could be change in government, and somebody could come in with a different view and see pure ground for residential down the road.
What do you say to people listening to this who hear about the value of this zoned land? Like, it's worth an awful lot of money. If people Liam were to go to sell it, they'd be very wealthy people.
Yeah, but Liam still wants the farm, and he wants to pass on that farm or a farm at the very least to the next generation. If he sells that ground, he pays 33% of its value in capital gains tax, and if he buys more ground, he pays 7.5% stamp duty on that, so he's paying over 40% on the transaction of buying new ground. He won't get any reliefs on it, because you wouldn't get reliefs unless you were selling ground to move closer to your home base. He's obviously going to be moving further away.
So what's your advice to farmers now? Are you advising them to apply to have the land dezoned?
If they wish to have it dezoned, they should apply to have it dezoned. They've made their submissions to try to have the land removed from the residential zoned land tax. This whole area, the lack of information, as Liam said, they weren't informed that they were in the RZLT. They had to look up maps themselves and find out themselves if they were. I think there's still a lot of people out there that don't realise that they're commercial premises, their garden or their farm is being pulled into this RZLT, and people will have to make submissions at the end of the year and go on a register if they want their garden exempt from the RZLT.
Would it make a difference if the tax owed was due only when you sold the land as opposed to annually?
Well, if somebody sold the land after 10 years, it'd be 30% tax, and you'd still have to pay capital gains tax, whether that's on the full amount or on the balance, I don't know. But you're talking about a huge tax burden after, say, 10 years, huge figures.
What's the government saying to you about this?
The government has said that they are very supportive of removing active farmers from this tax, but it's trying to find a mechanism for this. Look, it's a very complex area, trying to free up land for housing, and we're using a very simple solution to a very complex problem, and it's not working. You know, it's using a sledgehammer instead of a scalpel. We do need to free up land for housing, but farmers that have farmed land for generations should be free to make a decision what they want to do with the land themselves. If they want to stay farming, they should be allowed to stay farming. If they want to develop it, they should be possibly incentivised through tax reliefs to sell that ground for development if there is a real need. That was done before the capital gains was reduced from 33% to 20% to move ground, to mobilise ground for building. And that did have an effect at that time in mobilising a lot of ground for building back in the 2000s.
That wouldn't work for you, would it, if the capital gains tax was reduced to 20%? Because you just don't want to sell that land.
No, we don't want to sell no matter what, yeah. And as I said, the field has sentimental value to our family. You know, I know people in cities and all will find that very hard to understand, but, you know, it means a lot, and we don't want to let it go.
So, I mean, we're not talking, Bill, here, just to explain to people, about random fields in very rural Ireland. We are talking about serviced land. And I explained the picture that I saw of Liam's field, where it's in between two housing estates. I mean, these are fields on the edge of rural or urban developments, aren't they?
Yeah, but we have places that are zoned. Zoning is kind of a very broad thing, that they'll zone land, and so we'd like to see houses built in this area. when the zoning process happens, we don't go through a planning process at the same time. So you don't know if that land is actually serviced, if it is fully serviced, if there's roads. Like, there's so many different things that servicing covers. Roads, water, water in, water out, schools, shop facilities, whatever in the area, creche facilities in an area. So oftentimes they'll just zone it and say, we'd like to see houses built in this area. It's when you go through the planning process, you actually see, is that land properly serviced and is there capacity in the system for that land? Now, we think that there is plenty of ground serviced within the country for the housing need that's in the country, and it's mobilising it in the right areas. But farmers have to be given the choice. If they wish to sell it for housing, fine. If they wish to stay farming, they've farmed it for generations. We farmed our land at home for 400 years in the same family. I want to pass that on to the next generation. I don't want to be forced to make a decision. And in some cases, people on residential farms are being evicted, will be evicted from their farms if this tax is imposed on them. They can't afford to pay the tax out of farming. It's huge sums of money. 60,000 in Liam's cases, we're talking 10, 20,000 euros around the country. 2 or 3 years of that puts most people in a position where they would have to sell. There's an implication that if they try to sell the ground, there isn't a purchaser there. And if there's a liability of 3% a year attached to the value of that land, it's going to devalue the land and make it harder to sell it.
I suppose people have had their lives, their property, their land disrupted over the years when there's been a motorway built in a place, like we'll have Metro North now, people will be asked to leave their homes. This does happen, doesn't it?
It does happen. Usually in those cases, there's a CPO, there's flexibility, maybe there's public consultation and consultation with individuals, and maybe things are moved around residences and things like that, and try to minimise the disturbance to farms. But farms are often very adequately compensated. That's often agricultural land that's paid at a much higher value than agriculture, and there can be tax concessions given and reliefs given if they want to purchase new ground. They're often left in a better position than they were beforehand.
Okay,
the farm's fragmented, but they have more land.
What will the IFA do if you don't win any ground here from the government?
Well, the IFA will fight this tooth and nail. We can't have farmers put out on the street over this tax, but I think the farmers in question, the farmers are at the edge of urban areas around the country, so it's fairly obvious that they're going to go out and protest at the edge of urban areas and cause huge disruption. We had the Enough is Enough campaign. We'll be running more campaigns over the summer if we get a summer, if the weather improves. But those farmers will go out and fight tooth and nail. They can't afford a tax. They will be evicted from their land if that tax is imposed on them. So they will go out in the street. The IFA will 100% support them, get out ahead of them and work on it. And we'll talk to government and try and find a solution anyway at all. If they want to find a definition for who is an active farmer and who should be exempt from this tax, we'll roll up our sleeves and work with the government on that. But active farmers cannot have this tax imposed on them. It's an unfair and unjust tax.
All right, Bill O'Keefe from the IFA and Liam Butterley, who's a farmer in North Dublin. Thank you both for joining us. Back after this.
Text 51551 today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.